Well, you just heard the weather forecast. Now the five-day forecast. A weekend full of media hype, followed by the possibility of what, as you just heard, has been nicknamed Frankenstorm. Hurricane Sandy's march up the East Coast as it might collide with other weather systems from the north and west, producing a system that some scientists are saying could be unprecedented, different from anything they've ever seen on computer weather maps and the modeling. So let's talk about the science of this now and how much Halloween scarifying it might actually be worth with Adam Sobel, professor of climate and atmospheric science at Columbia University. Dr. Sobel, welcome to WNYC.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So we just heard on the news that the National Weather Service itself, not just people who want to have fun in the media, are naming this Frankenstorm. Do you teach the technical definition of Frankenstorm at Columbia?
No, we don't have a class on that yet.
Seriously, though, explain why meteorologists see the possibility of something very unusual heading our way.
Well, Sandy is a a hurricane right now, a tropical storm system of high winds. And what's common in with such storms in the Atlantic is that as they go northward, they often undergo what's called extratropical transition, which means they acquire more of the characteristics of an extratropical storm. But usually as they do that, they head out to sea. And this one, first of all, isn't turning extratropical as fast as we might have thought. But even as it does that, it seems to be staying more inland in the latest model solutions, such that it'll hit us in a state that not that many storms do when they pick up energy from the extratropical jet stream. They usually are more out to sea, but this one will do so. To the extent it does so, it will hit us after gaining that extra jolt of energy.
So that's a little bit of the Sandy part. What about the other parts? What's the current location and state of the winter storm that would come from the west?
Right. Well, right now it's a big wiggle in the jet stream, that a trough at upper levels that's dipping south and causing some weather in the west of us. And what's unusual about that is that it's not only strengthening, but also starting to it's being predicted to tilt towards the southeast, such that the winds on the flank of it where Sandy gets to will point back towards the shore. And that's not so common, and it's maybe partly related to a very strong phase of what's called the North Atlantic Oscillation, which is also related to a blocking high over Greenland. And all these factors collude to push Sandy back towards us at a time when normally that wouldn't be what would happen with storms like this.
Is the winter storm causing weather right now somewhere?
It is. I actually haven't studied the latest on that, but I have heard that there is snow in the midsection of the country, yeah.
And I've read that this could begin to affect us on Sunday and then last for several days, perhaps past Halloween to as long as Friday. That would be late Sunday until possibly Friday in our area at the extreme. Do you see that as possible?
Friday. Well, I'm not sure that I think that's so likely, but what is likely is that the strongest winds, which could be 70 miles an hour or more, possibly even 80 at times, could last for on the order of a day or so. I think the impacts for longer than that would be at a lower intensity or would be spread over a larger region. But we could see quite high winds for a period of, you know, on the order of 24 hours. And if that happens with leaves still on the trees and all that, we could have a lot of power lines down and a strong storm surge possibly as well, with the tide being high at coastal areas.
Listeners, if you have any questions about the nature of these storm systems that appear to be headed our way, we have Adam Sobel, professor of climate and atmospheric science at Columbia University, and you can call in with your question at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. How does this compare to the severity or the conditions that led to Hurricane Tropical Storm Irene, which was our most recent big weather event around here?
Right. Irene was a more purely tropical event. So it came up the coast as a tropical storm, a hurricane that was downgraded to tropical storm, you know, shortly around the time of landfall. But it didn't have this strong interaction with a more winter type of system that that this storm does. And as a consequence, the track was straight up the coast, whereas in the original forecast of a couple days ago, Sandy was starting to curve out to sea in the way that storms do when they interact with winter storms most typically. So it was originally forecast to hook out to sea and then come back, and that's still what a lot of the forecasts do. Although some of the most recent ones, the track is looking a little more Irene-like in that it's coming a little more directly up the coast. At the same time, the structure of the storm will most likely, I think, still be a little more a hybrid type with a little more winter storm characteristics, which really means that the winds are spread out over a larger radius is one of the more important differences.
I saw one forecaster from NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, quoted as saying some of the computer models on this make it look unprecedented. Is there anything that's actually unique, you know, by the dictionary definition of unique, you know, according to what you're looking at, that could happen?
Well, the event that some of us have been comparing it to is the so-called 1991 perfect storm that had, you know, the book and movie made about it and all that. And that was one that had some similarities in that it was a tropical cyclone that then interacted with an extratropical system and then curved back toward land. This one is doing it starting from a stronger tropical storm and coming back toward land more directly, and the latest tracks running directly into the more southern part of the East Coast, whereas the so-called perfect storm was strongest out at sea and I believe hit the coast much further north. So, yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's not to say that it'll necessarily be the strongest storm that this area has ever experienced, but in some of its characteristics, it certainly seems very unusual, yes.
John in Paramus, you're on WNYC. Hi, John.
How you doing? You know, the way you're talking about the storm, especially the wind, this will bring air traffic to a pretty much of a halt on the East Coast for a whole day.
What do you think about the likelihood of that?
I think it's pretty likely that air traffic will have problems. Yeah, that seems... I wouldn't want to have to say anything too detailed about the operations of airports, but it doesn't look good for anybody flying around the time when the storm arrives.
So that's air traffic. Now, with respect to local mass transit, we had MTA Chairman Joe Loda as a guest on the show yesterday, and he didn't see the expectation of shutting down the transit system as they did with Irene, but he did say that they learned some lessons from Irene. Here's a little bit of that.
Well, having been a customer and a rider at the time, what I think everybody at the MTA and everybody in New York learned about Hurricane Irene is that the subway system can do almost anything it's possible of being done. And it did it in a way, quite honestly, the subway system had never been shut down before. Everything put in its place, everything being protected. And it was a good exercise. I don't think we're looking at anything like that for what's happening next week, but we are going to have, for all indications, are a pretty brutal nor'easter. What's going to happen north of New York City is, I think, where the most problems are going to be, because they are talking about the fact that while it may be rain and wind down here, not that far north of us, we're going to be having snow. It's going to be a replica of last year's Halloween snowstorm.
MTA Chairman Joe Loda on our show yesterday saying he didn't expect a shutdown of the subway system like with Hurricane Irene. But I wonder, from where you stand, Professor Sobel, given the nature of the predictions you've been describing, what kind of subway tunnel and lower ground bus route flooding might you expect compared to Irene?
Well, yeah, with Irene, I mean, that was the reason for shutting down the subways, as I understood it, was in anticipation of flooding. And then the flooding turned out not to be as bad as some of the forecasts had suggested, although it's important to keep in mind that all these forecasts come with a bit of uncertainty, and we have to be a little bit cautious and operate with a margin of error. Excuse me. With Sandy, the tracks, I mean, there's still a lot of uncertainty in both the track and intensity. We just still don't know exactly what's going to happen. But as the time has gone on, the forecasts have brought it into the coast further south, putting us on the right side of the storm where the winds are strongest, and also coming in, sticking in that position for a reasonably long time. And if that's the case, it seems to me that the potential for storm surges is pretty large. I haven't seen a really careful the really thorough modeling of storm surge that gets done hasn't been done yet, to my knowledge. It usually happens in the last few days before the storm. But it seemed to me that the risk of a big storm surge is pretty significant, and so I wouldn't be surprised if the city reevaluates over the next couple of days whether they might want to take some action based on that.
Huh. Al in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Al.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm still not quite clear about how a storm coming from the west would tend to pull Sandy into the coast rather than pushing it out toward the ocean. Can your guest explain that a little bit more?
Professor?
Yeah, it's a good question, and it's one that's hard to do on radio because a picture would be worth really 1,000 words here. But what happens is the jet stream normally blows, if it's undisturbed, would blow from west to east across the country. But when it gets disturbed by the type of disturbance that we have now, it dips down over the center of the country now more on the eastern side, and so the winds blowing along it are blowing down from the north to the south on the western side of the trough, and blowing then from the south to the north, coming around on the east side where we are now. But as the whole trough tilts down towards the southeast, the winds on the flank of it that we're on and that Sandy's going to be on then point towards the northwest. And so Sandy being to the southeast of us, those winds will push it towards the coast. And it's just a question of exactly how quickly and exactly where that trajectory lands is still a little bit uncertain. But it looks pretty certain that broadly speaking, that scenario will play out. And so it's that storm is really just a wiggle in the jet stream that's going to end up pointing back towards the land is the short answer.
Right. And you were saying before that the greater effects with respect to wind, at least, would be, would hit our area. If the storm doesn't make landfall, if Sandy doesn't make landfall right in our area, but somewhat south of our area, that might actually make it a more severe weather event for us?
Yeah, right, because the total wind that we see is a combination of the wind relative to the storm, the wind blowing around the storm, and the storm's motion itself. So because the wind blows counterclockwise around the storm, as it moves, the winds on the right side of the storm get added to the motion of the storm, and so the total wind is stronger. And so you don't want to be on the right side of the track. And for us, that means if it's coming in from the south. The other issue is that on that side of the, if it comes into our south, then there will be a component of the wind that's more strongly onshore toward the shore, and that's bad from a storm surge point of view.
My guest on WNYC for another few minutes is Adam Sobel, professor of climate and atmospheric science at Columbia University, as we talk about the possibility of a unique storm system that the National Weather Service itself has dubbed Frankenstorm, hitting the New York area on Halloween week, maybe late Sunday into Monday, and maybe lasting for several days with some unique elements. And Kurt in Whippany, you're on WNYC. Hello, Kurt.
Hello, Brian. Good to talk to you. I had a question about, I don't want to compare it to Irene, but it's a temptation. How do you see this storm in comparison to Irene? Because with Irene, we had lots of rainfall, and with that, with the wind, I think took down, naturally, a lot of trees. How do you see this as comparing to Irene? Will we see more trees down, less trees down? Because I was one who lost power for many days.
It's a good question. And, with Irene, remember, one of the things was it actually was worse in a lot of inland areas than right along the coast. When you talk about hurricanes and tropical storms, you worry about the beaches and anything along the coast. But so much damage was done in Westchester and points north and in Connecticut, even up to Vermont. I saw it this summer when I was up there. People were still talking about the damage in Vermont from down trees from Irene. So is this going to be similar or different in any way you would articulate?
Well, I think before answering that, it's just important to reemphasize the uncertainty at this point. The storm is still a few days away from us. Both the track and the intensity are still uncertain, and so one shouldn't make any really specific statements about exactly where various impacts will be and exactly how strong they'll be. That said, it's quite certain that at this point that the east coast of North America over a large area will see some impacts. And I think with regard to the inland impacts, yeah, it makes a big difference whether the storm at center itself goes inland or not, as Irene did. In this case, some of the models are still carrying Sandy a little more along the coast before bringing inland, in which case, you know, it would be more of a coastal phenomenon. But the latest, some of the latest tracks, certainly from the National Hurricane Center, do bring it inland a bit more. And to the extent that happens, we could definitely see the precipitation will be a lot. I wouldn't want to try to predict it quantitatively, but I would expect a lot of rain from this system. It's a tropical system interacting with an extratropical cold front, and that'll push a lot of moisture up into the atmosphere and condense it and drop it on us.
Well,
the winds also, we could see the leaves are still on the trees in a lot of places, and the power outages are quite likely, I think, over large areas.
The leaves on the trees will come down along with the branches, right?
Yeah.
But one thing about the precipitation, one thing that's really unusual is hearing the words hurricane and snow in the same forecast. Hurricanes are, of course, tropical weather systems. Snow, obviously, is not. Is there a record of hurricanes with snow, and do you see that as an actual possibility here?
That's a good question. The record, I don't know. I'll have to say on that one. It's certainly not common. I don't think the forecast for the coastal areas and for the lowlands doesn't look cold enough that I don't think we should expect snow there. In the mountains, I'm not so sure. There might be some places, and further north, I'm not entirely sure that there won't be some places that it'll be snow. I think for the most, for the coastal population centers, it's not likely.
How would that, if it does come about in some areas, how would people experience that as different from a typical winter blizzard, which also has snow and high winds, if at all?
Wow. I'm trying to imagine the experience of a weather phenomenon that I've never actually experienced myself. So it's a little hard to say what it would feel like on the ground. I mean, if it was cold enough to snow, it'd be a lot of snow, and the wind would be very strong. How would it differ from a typical winter blizzard to a person on the ground? I don't know.
Yeah.
It might be similar in some respects to a nor'easter that brings a lot of snow.
Alan in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Alan.
Thanks again, Brian. Wonderful program. One of the aspects of climate change that does not get enough coverage in the media seems to be highlighted by this event, and that is something Walter Sullivan pointed out in the Times in an article 30 years ago. As ice melts in the Arctic, it creates counterintuitive amounts of cool air blowing down to temperate regions like ours at different times of the year, some cold winters, cool days in summer, and a lot of people have taken that as part of the reason to disbelieve climate science. Isn't this a very good opportunity to remind people that one of the side effects of warming is temporary cooling during the period of ice melt?
Alan, thank you. And I'll say, just to preface your answer, I was going to ask a similar question because I see that you're a professor of both atmospheric and climate science, and most meteorologists who might be atmospheric scientists don't really like relating daily weather events to long-range climate change. So given your twin specialties, do you see any relationship in this case or what feels to Alan and many other people like more weird weather events in recent years?
Yeah, it's always a tricky question. I mean, people who don't like to relate individual weather events to climate change are right in the sense that individual weather events are always variable. Big anomalies can always happen, even in a climate that's not changing. And so it's very difficult to, or if not impossible, to attribute any particular thing that happens on any particular day to climate change. What we think that climate change will do is slowly change the odds of certain types of events happening. And so, you know, at the same time as one can't attribute any single event to climate change, one can make broad statements about certain types of events that may happen more frequently or less frequently.
Including this type of event and for the reasons of warming and cooling that he speculated on?
Yeah, I don't know about that one. I don't see any really clear reason why an event like this couldn't have happened in the past. I don't know that we have a clear indication that events of this particular type will be more frequent or less frequent. Tropical cyclones overall, the best consensus, which is still far from perfect, but the best consensus for the future is that in the whole world as a whole, we'll see more likely fewer tropical cyclones than more, but that the ones we do have will be more intense.
Mm-hmm.
That's for the whole world. For the individual regions like our region, the North Atlantic, it's much less clear. And for strange events like this, which is, you know, a hybrid of a lot of different things coming together at once, a tropical storm, an extratropical storm, and a funny path back into the coast, you know, that's very difficult. The more rare an event is, the harder it is to relate it to climate change because you just don't have the statistics.
Right.
You can't look over many of them and see trends. So I think, although we shouldn't dismiss climate change impacts on weather systems of all types, one is right not to make any strong statements about the relationship of this one or any other to climate change.
Before you go, you know, what happens in 49 of the 50 states really doesn't matter much next week. So just tell me, will this storm affect early voting in Ohio?
Yeah, I've heard that. Is this going to be an October surprise of one sort or another? I don't know. And you know, as hard as it is to predict the details of the storm, predicting something like how it'll affect an election is even more difficult, and I just don't want to go there.
Worse in the Democratic eastern half of the state or the Republican-leaning western half, you definitely don't want to go there. Makes
okay.
me wonder, though, because the storm would affect the east if it affects any part of Ohio first. So maybe Republican Party operatives are seeding the clouds. Is there any intelligence on that? No, I guess we can't.
It's going to impact a lot of swing states. I think we can say that the largest impacts are likely to be in states that are pretty blue.
Even including North Carolina, Virginia?
Well, I guess you're right there. Some of the more southern tracks. Yeah.
But they don't have early voting. So this is going to be over, I don't think, anyway. And so this would be over by Election Day at least. So the question is places that they're voting now. But all right, enough about that. Adam Sobel, professor of climate and atmospheric science at Columbia University, on what the Weather Service is actually calling Frankenstorm as the possibility that a weather system coming from the west that's more of a wintry weather system will collide with Hurricane Sandy as it moves up the coast, hitting us late Sunday, maybe into Monday or Tuesday. It could be unprecedented in the way they combine to make local weather. Thank you very much for talking about it with us.
Pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, now it's Bank of America being sued in connection with the mortgage bubble. We'll find out why.